Welcome to the Keep Texas Red Podcast, where we discuss the importance of true conservative values. Follow us on KeepTexasRed.org. And now, here's your host, campaign strategist and political commentator, Joseph Vargas.
And welcome to our Keep Texas Red Podcast, Chris Ann Hall. She is a former prosecutor for the state of Florida. She's a constitutionalist, an attorney, an author, a filmmaker, and the host of a nationally syndicated radio show. She also travels the country training on the principles of the Constitution. So welcome to the Keep Texas Red Podcast, Chris Ann Hall.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very honored to be here.
Well, we are glad you are here. Now, let's jump into some of the things that are going on right now. Recently, there's been a lot of cases in the news with the Supreme Court, one of them in particular being the overturn of Roe versus Wade. Now, this Supreme Court decision turned the left into a frenzy, which kind of just gives the idea of what's going on in America, that a lot of people are not aware of the Constitution. They're not even aware of what really goes on with these Supreme Court cases. So with all of this, how can we move forward in a country that has voters that are not even knowledgeable as to the Constitution or the Supreme Court decisions?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you ask the question that way. How do we move forward with voters that don't understand the Constitution? The reality is that we haven't taught the Constitution properly for a very, very long time. So we are where we are today because voters, and I would say on both sides of the political aisle, don't understand the Constitution the way it's supposed to be applied and how government is supposed to work. The frenzy over the Dobbs case, which everyone characterizes as overturning Roe v. Wade, is a really good example of how the American people lean more to what the media says about something than what actually has happened. And so the left puts out this whole media narrative about how the Supreme Court has outlawed abortion, how Dobbs has outlawed abortion, and how they're denying women's rights. And then, you know, we have the reality where Dobbs does not even outlaw abortion. Dobbs doesn't say anything about the legality of abortion whatsoever. What the Dobbs case did was say, look, abortion is not a constitutional issue. It is not a federal issue. Therefore, it is an issue that must be dealt with by the people through their states. And there's a little bit of irony in there because, you know, the left is there. They also chant that mantra, one voice, one vote, and therefore, you know, national popular vote. And so you have now an issue that is closely related to the society, is closely tied to the principles of a society, and then the people in that society get to make the decision on how abortion is to be handled. Riots were happening and the protests were happening over Dobbs. Dobbs changed nothing. It didn't outlaw abortion. It just said laws are to be written. So 99% of the hysteria that we saw over Dobbs was all manufactured. And if the people had actually read or maybe listened to somebody like me who has a podcast as a constitutionalist, or right here on Keep Texas Red, where you guys are really concerned about bringing the truth and not just, you know, the political red meat, these are the kind of ways that people have to be informed.
And so now it's very likely that, Chris, and I think you'll agree with me that the left is going to use this during the midterms.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, they already are.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well,
how do you think we should counter this?
It's very interesting dynamic, and it's something that my husband and I have been talking about, but and I just saw, I don't remember, it was a CNN news article about it. But what you find is that the majority of the people that were just filled with this vitriol and this anger over Dobbs fall into a demographic that doesn't vote. And so what we are going to find is that this issue is being played by the left as a drive to midterm elections, but it's more like a waste of energy for them, because the people that you saw scream, I mean, we all saw the videos of the people screaming in the streets. Typically speaking, those people don't vote. And I just saw a CNN article today, this morning, that said that yes, of the 62% of the people that were angry over Dobbs, only 49% of those say they're actually even going to vote. So, I mean, we don't want to put that, you know, we don't want to use that as an excuse for anybody who's pro-life or pro-adoption to not go vote. But the reality is that this is, I really believe this is not a powerful midterm issue for the left. And it's certainly not going to be powerful enough of an issue to override the economic and foreign policy disasters that are coming out of the Biden administration.
Now, also, we're seeing right now how the current Biden administration is really undermining the Constitution, left and right. And this is ultimately affecting a lot of the states, the citizens in the states. What is something that you would recommend or you would suggest to states, especially the red states? What can they do to counter this so that their citizens won't be affected?
Well, I think the largest issue would have to be, there are two large issues that would fall under this category. I mean, there's many small issues. The federal government overreach is just simply at an all-time high in my lifetime. I wouldn't say ever, but in my lifetime. And so the two major issues that I would like to address under this particular question would have to be energy independence and border control, right? And so I was just on Victory News today, and we were talking about all the people who are blaming Joe Biden for the border crisis. All the people that have, I mean, I think they're getting like 500 to 600 people dead a day because of the border crisis. And there's a lot of finger pointing happening at Joe Biden. Well, the reality is, if we make Joe Biden the scapegoat for this entire problem, we're never going to apply the real solutions. And then everybody else who has the power to make a difference will be left blameless and unaccountable. So in reality, the President of the United States is just a very, very small part of energy and border control. What we really have to understand is that as a constitutional republic that is built where the states created the federal government while retaining their sovereignty over internal state issues, that is actually the key. Border control. The governor of Texas should be locking down the border himself. You should have every resource in the state of Texas shutting down the border and deporting people across the border. The governor's answer to the problem of busing people to border towns is not an answer. It's a pathetic pass off for I'm trying to do something. But I don't mean to be really hard on the guy, but in reality, what is happening on the Texas border really falls on the head of the governor. And so the governor can do many, many things. There's constitutional provisions that could be invoked. The Texas Constitution contains a section that says the governor of the state of Texas can invoke the National Guard and can do what's necessary to stop invasion in Texas. So you have U.S. Constitution, you have state constitution, all putting this in the hands of the states when the federal government is not doing its job. So we can't keep going around pointing the finger at Biden, because that doesn't bring us to a solution. And it doesn't even show us the problem. The real problem is governors in our states, and this border control problem is a national problem. This is an every state problem. Every state in the union ought to be sending a portion of their guard to the border to secure the border. Every state in the union where the federal government is shipping illegal aliens into the states ought to be standing up and taking those people back over the border. We should be holding the federal government accountable for their lawlessness. It is a violation of federal law to house, feed, or transport, or do anything to encourage an illegal alien to come or stay in the United States. That is federal law, punishable up to 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine for each violation. And now there's been some word that the federal government is handing out Social Security numbers to these illegals coming over the border. That is yet another violation of federal law. The only people that are eligible for a Social Security number who are not citizens are persons who have gone through, completed the entire visa application process. So we have a federal government that is not only not doing their job, but is actually violating the law, federal law, in what they're doing. So there really is no reason why the state should not be stepping up and doing that. And from the same explanation, energy independence is a state issue. It's not a federal issue. Our states, Alaska, does not need permission from the federal government to drill. The states do not need permission from the federal government to explore their energy options and to build energy infrastructure within their states. It is our states that are being negligent that are really causing an energy crisis in America. It is an errant, blind submission to the federal government, which actually, not in legal terms, but in practicality, conforms our states from states into colonies of a federal kingdom.
So going back to the, let's go back to the border issue that you said, because some of the governors in the border, including Texas, what they're saying is that they're not authorized by the Constitution to really do anything because it's a federal issue. Now, there is a guarantee clause that says that the federal government's responsible to actually protect the states. And there are also another argument that they're using is, if we actually do anything, we're going to put, whether it be our Border Patrol or our National Guard, in jeopardy of being probably in trouble, mm-hmm. some kind of a even court-martial with the federal government. So you're saying that the states are constitutionally protected to actually push back against all these illegals that are coming in every day?
The states have a duty. We are not colonies. The federal government is actually a creation of the states. The federal government's power is derived from the states. The federal government's power has been delegated to it by the states. The federal government has no original source of power. All its power is derived from the Constitution by the agreement of the states. Every single power that rests within the federal government originates within the states. Those states delegated power to the federal government. Not surrender, delegate. That word, and go read the 10th Amendment, because that's exactly what it says. It's what James Madison wrote in Federalist 45 in explaining the relationship between the federal government and the states, that the powers are delegated to the federal government, and that definition is a temporary trust of authority or responsibility from a higher power to a lower power. The states delegated border control power to the federal government. They did not surrender it. When they delegated it, it was temporary under the condition that the federal government do their job. When the federal government fails to do what the states have delegated authority for it to do, that power then transfers back to the states. It's why the Constitution itself says that the states have the authority without the federal government to protect themselves from invasion. That is in the U.S. Constitution. As I mentioned, in the Texas Constitution also says the state of Texas has an authority and a duty to guard itself from invasion. Number one, the federal government is not going to court-martial a governor. A governor is not in the U.S. military. There's no court-martial for civilians, okay? The governor is not going to court-martial people who are in employment of the state to do that. All the governors need to do is have the sheriffs deputize people, and then they can do it even without the National Guard. Now that brings up a whole new can of worms, because in reality, the National Guard is not something that is supposed to be 24/7 run by the federal government. The National Guard Act is an unconstitutional act. The National Guard is actually the federal government usurping the authority of the states and taking the states' guards from them. The National Guard, by the Constitution, is only to fall under the authority of the federal government, the state guards. The state guards are only to fall under the authority of the federal government when there is a formal declaration of war and a formal calling up as a result of that declaration of war. We have not had a formal declaration of war since World War II. There is no authority for the federal government to take control of our state guards. That is under the commander-in-chief of the state, which is the governor.
So, Chris, and it's obvious that the Biden administration is complicit with this. I mean, they're actually encouraging all these illegals to come to the United States.
Yes.
So when it comes to the states like Arizona and Texas, do the governors know that they have this authority? Are they also just complacent with this? Are they in accordance with kind of like quietly just really in agreement with it? What is the situation that they're not acting?
I believe that a lot of the inaction can no longer be attributed to ignorance. There's been way too much discussion about it. There's been way too much evidence presented about it. And we actually have governors now that are speaking about it. The governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, has started a Florida Guard. There are 27 other states with state guards. Florida Governor DeSantis is talking about how we will defend our borders whether the federal government wants us to or not. And now you have candidates, especially in Arizona. I forget her name, Lake.
Carrie.
Running for governor. Carrie Lake is teaching exactly what we're talking about here, and is declaring that we will do that. The state of Arizona, if she is elected governor, will do the exact same thing we're talking about. So the governors who are not acting, they can no longer claim ignorance as their excuse. So the only thing that you can fall back on is some kind of political cowardice, or they're paid off by somebody else to not do something. So it's either a money transfer or a lack of courage. And in my opinion, in the end of the day, what difference does it make? Because the truth is the truth. And the governors who are not acting on this, the blood is on their hands. They can't pass that off to the Biden administration. But there's also another group of people here that we haven't mentioned that also has accountability. And the silence of our members of Congress, the silence of our senators over this is deafening. Now, I've heard Ted Cruz say some things, but what Ted Cruz is doing is once again pointing the finger at Joe Biden. Ted Cruz should be at Greg Abbott's desk pounding his fist, telling Greg Abbott, you need to do something about this. Stop trying to pass the buck to Joe Biden. And so we need House members, we need senators to unite together under this truth and really empower or empower the people so that the governors won't be able to hide behind any excuses anymore.
So let me ask you this. In regard to the border, a lot of sheriffs on the border are actually, some of them are saying they want to take matters into their own hands now that they're seeing that the state nor the federal government aren't doing anything about it. I know you teach a course about the constitutional authority of sheriffs. Is a sheriff protected by the Constitution to actually gather or round up illegal aliens and send them back to Mexico?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The sheriff is the highest law authority in his county or her county. The sheriff takes an oath to the Constitution of the United States and to the Constitution of the state. The sheriff in the majority of jurisdictions, and I would say 99% of the jurisdictions in America, are not a hireling of the county. They don't work for the state. They're an elected representative of the people. It is the sheriff's role and duty to defend the lives, the liberty, the property of the people of his county. And if laws are being broken in his county, even federal laws, because remember, the federal government shipping these illegal aliens into the United States is a violation of federal law and an invasion of the states. The sheriffs absolutely have the authority to enforce that law and to stop those aliens from coming into their counties. And the sheriffs can work together with other sheriffs to transfer them out.
Now, would you agree with me that if a lot of sheriffs are not doing this, a lot of sheriffs that are hired, their experience is always based on maybe they've been many years with the police force. Some of them are former Texas Rangers, or they've been in law enforcement a lot, but a lot of them don't see or don't even consider their responsibility to uphold the Constitution. Do you think that's part of the problem with these sheriffs that are not taking any action?
I believe, unlike the governors, many sheriffs are not aware of the proper role and duty of the sheriff, because there has been a national effort to silence that truth. And the people like governors like DeSantis and Kristi Noem and now Carrie Lake standing up and talking about these things, they have a voice that is louder than the media. And so they're overcoming that. But the sheriffs, they don't have that kind of voice. And the American people don't get to see that, hey, guess what? What we have is a system where the sheriffs are an essential check and balance. And sheriffs have been doing that for a very long time. I mean, we have a documentary coming up, Noncompliant 2, that's all about the sheriff. You can actually watch the trailer at noncompliantmovie.com for our sequel. We're looking to have it be released in October. And so this documentary will teach exactly what you're talking about, the role and the duty of the sheriff, not as a blind enforcer of the law, not an order taker from the governor, and definitely not an order taker from the president or the federal government, but an independent defender of the property and the rights of the people, a constitutional representative. And so we have been working really hard across the country. I have actually taught representatives from sheriff's offices in all 50 states. I have been in 49 states teaching sheriffs about this. We're working county by county by county if we have to. And we are able to bring this information. And it's just, I've had sheriffs tell me this is life-changing. I've had sheriffs, because we do a 3-hour workshop, And in the middle of the workshop, they're making policy changes because I'm teaching them the things they never learned in the academy. I'm teaching them things that keep them from being sued. I'm teaching them things that keep them from having civil rights violations filed against them. And I'm teaching them the authority and the power that they have to defend their people. And in this documentary, you know what's amazing? The documentary is built on my teaching, but it's also built around interviews from sheriffs who have stood up and actually exercised their duty as a sheriff successfully so the people can see this, right? And so I've asked, and we've asked these sheriffs, why do you do what you do? Why do you want to be sheriff? Every single one of them has said, because I want to be a servant to the people. I want to be a defender of the people. Well, our sheriff training gives them the knowledge and the foundation to do what they long to do.
So I know I've watched your non-compliant movie. It's noncompliantmovie.com. It's amazing. And I always recommend, everywhere I'm invited to speak, I always recommend everybody to watch it. And so now you're going to have noncompliantmovie.com, but it'll be the sheriff version of the other one.
Yes. So Noncompliant 2, they'll both be on the same platform, but Noncompliant 2 is all about the sheriff. And you can go to noncompliantmovie.com right now and watch the trailer. And you can watch the full first documentary of Noncompliant as well, which actually teaches what we were talking about today about the governors and the states and their authority to stand up to the federal government.
Now, Chris, we talked about the border, how it's up to the governments, even the sheriffs, where if they actually take their role more seriously, they can actually do something about it. What about when it comes to fossil fuels? You know, a lot of them are saying, well, Biden is saying we can't drill. They're not actually authorizing. They're closing down pipelines. Once again, is this also up to the states, or are their hands tied with the federal government on this issue of the fossil fuels?
No, it is a matter that is reserved to the states. The federal government telling the states what they can and cannot do within their own borders is not a constitutionally authorized power of the federal government. As a matter of fact, it was a very contentious issue during the ratification of our Constitution. How do we keep the federal government from becoming the kingdom that we have fought independence from? How do we keep the states from being consumed by a large central government? And the answer to that question was, well, the central government will be very limited and defined in its authority. Its only authority is what we have specifically delegated via the articles in the Constitution. And everything left to the internal affairs of the states are left to the final authority of the states. James Madison said it this way in Federalist 45. He said, the powers delegated by the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined. Not just few and not just defined, but few and defined. He says the powers that are to remain in the state governments are numerous and indefinite. He said the powers that are delegated to the federal government will be exercised principally on foreign affairs. And he names them war, peace, negotiation, and foreign commerce. He says the powers that are reserved to the states will involve everything that has to do with the internal order, operation, the prosperity of the states, the lives, the property of the people. Everything that happens within the border of your state is reserved to the people through their states. It is not an avenue or an arena where the federal government is supposed to be exercising power. And the power the federal government exercises in our states has been done so by improper understanding and improper unconstitutional stretching of the language of the Constitution.
So you're saying that the states could actually thumb their nose at the federal government with all these regulatory agencies, the EPA?
Oh, yeah.
That are saying, we don't want you to drill. We want to shut down your pipelines. You're saying that the states do not have to pay attention to the federal government on this. Is that correct?
It's not just me that's saying that. It's the people who wrote the Constitution. It's the Supreme Court of the United States. Justice Roberts, who's the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, wrote in a majority opinion, NFIB v. Sebelius in 2012, that it is the states. He said, we look to the states to exercise their authority to not yield to federal blandishments when they don't want to follow those regulations. So you have the Supreme Court of the United States saying we're expecting the states to not yield to these federal regulations when they don't want to adopt them as their own. And then you have to understand it's actually happening. I mean, it's amazing to me, the same people that scream that the states don't have this authority are the same people who have encouraged the states to legalize marijuana. The federal government has not repealed a single marijuana law, not a single one. Yet state after state after state has legalized marijuana contrary to federal law. How do they do that? They do that because we never delegated to the federal government the authority to regulate what we eat, what we wear, what we smoke, what we ingest, what we do with our land. We never delegated them that authority. And the states are capitalizing on that by saying, no, we will not comply with federal marijuana laws within the border of our states. So if we can do that with federal marijuana laws, why can't we do that with federal gun laws within our states? Why can't we do that with federal regulations on our lands and our resources within our states? If it's perfectly legitimate with marijuana, it should be perfectly legitimate with everything else.
Chris Hannon, it's always amazing to talk to you with your vast knowledge on the Constitution. And before we leave, let's talk about your LibertyFirstSociety.com, where you have all these different courses. Tell us a little bit about the courses you offer, how people can sign up, and what kind of content do you have on there?
Well, Liberty First Society is our online constitutional education, American history education. It is simple enough for a sixth grader, but with such depth and explanation that even a serious scholar will learn from it. I mean, we have homeschool groups, we have homeschool parents, we have public school parents who use it to supplement their education of their children because we're not teaching American history properly, we're not teaching the Constitution properly in our schools. And I have groups on law school campuses that use LibertyFirstSociety.com to supplement their education because they know they're not being taught what they need to know, what they should be taught about the Constitution. So the things that we've talked about here today are on various courses of the Constitution. We have courses on the Forgotten Founders. We have a course on the history of the Constitution. My husband has a course called More Than Victims, America's Hidden Black History, about the black men and women who were free, who were business entrepreneurs, who were philanthropists and heroes prior to the Emancipation Proclamation, to the building of and the independence of America, that history that's being denied. And so we have so many courses. I think we've got 3 or 4 dozen at this point, and it's all learn at your own pace. This month, we will be releasing homeschool curriculum bundles. And all of that's going to be available. All of that is available at LibertyFirstSociety.com.
So we're going to encourage our audience to go to LibertyFirstSociety.com. And I think they can watch Noncompliant Movie on there as well. Is that correct?
Yes, there's a link to Noncompliant Movie there as well.
Chris Hamm, we want to thank you for taking the time being with us on the Keep Texas Red podcast.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure. And I want to say thank you to you for having this podcast. You have a very, very important voice, and it is truly an honor for me to be here with you.
Thank you very much. Hope to have you back soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Keep Texas Red podcast. Follow us on keeptexasred.org.